Hello, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. You're listening to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FMLP, KVSH on Vashon Island, Washington. We're coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Vashon. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today. Tom Conway, who's usually here with me, is sending his salutations and his regrets, as he had to miss today's episode for some mysterious endeavor he was doing. We'll find out details later. So with me in the studio is the inimitable Truman O'Brien.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Truman.
I heard from your guest, and she said, I said, are you coming today? And she said, yes. I said, now? And I haven't heard back. So if she doesn't show, I'm just going to cover for her.
Okay, so if she doesn't show, we'll just have a chat.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
Somebody probably got the time screwed up or something.
That's okay.
We're expecting Miss Hetty Anderson, and we shall see if she shows up at the door or not.
Yeah.
Anyway, Truman is managing the board, which he always does so adeptly because I can't do that. And he also has a great love of food and a lot of knowledge in that regard.
So. Well, I look like I have a great love of food, don't I? Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. We both look like we do.
That's right.
So we're just going to chat today and see how things go. So how you been, Truman?
Well, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
I've been twisting wrenches out at the airport, kind of helping
a
friend.
You?
Yeah. It's been fun.
Are you repairing an airplane?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got three of us working on it.
Well, you like that kind of stuff.
I do.
I mean, you're a puzzle guy and a...
Yeah, there you anything go.
Anything that nobody else can figure out is what just... You like that.
Yeah,
I know.
And I have another friend out at the airport who's building an airplane.
Oh, from scratch?
A kit. You know, it's a kit that you put together.
So in that kind of a situation, does the engine come put together?
Oh, yeah. But not hung on the airplane.
You got to put the airplane together and put the engine in it.
Yeah, put it on it and do all the...
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. And
that's a big task.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, good.
Let me go let her in.
Okay, all right. And I will just keep chatting for... a minute. Hi, everybody. We're just going to talk about a lot of different things today. Our weather is beautiful, and it has inspired me to be thinking about picnics and eating outdoors and taking time to really bless ourselves. Hi, Hetty.
Hey.
Here's your chair right there. Have a sit. Oh, she brought cookies. Thank you.
That looks lovely.
We love Hetty's cookies.
Cheers.
So here is our guest, Hetty Anderson. And for those of you who don't know her, Hetty is owner, proprietor, chef, chief bottle washer, floor mopper, chair mover.
All of that
with two of our favorite spots, Sugar Shack and Durong. In downtown Vashon. If you haven't been there, it's across the street from IGA, the little cute little yellow cottage. And you'll be greeted with wonderful smiles and beautiful aromas when you go in there. The food is fabulous. And so welcome, Hetty. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi. So I have a list of things I want to talk about with you today.
Okay.
And first of all, Truman has just informed me, which I didn't know, that you have a new thing happening over at your place. Tell us about that.
It's happening pretty soon. Yes. We actually put in seating and we are going to be licensed hopefully in June sometime. So we're going to have indoor seating.
Wow.
Yep. And we're going to be, sorry, I have a little bit of a residual cold, which is why I sound like this. So we're going to be seating people for lunch and dinner. Yeah. And maybe brunch on the weekends, which later in the summer.
Oh, that'll be so nice.
I know.
We need a brunch place badly. Yeah. Well, brunch is my favorite meal in the universe I love brunch.
Yes.
Any day of the week. Doesn't have to be Sunday.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So tell me about your menu.
So the menu will be a little bit different. So right now our menu is, we usually just have like one or two things on the lunch menu.
Right.
And a few things on the dinner menu.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes every day. And when we do the indoor seating, which, you know, like I said, hopefully we're in the process and it'll happen hopefully within the next couple of weeks. I'm thinking mid-June.
Mm-hmm.
We will have like a small menu of like maybe five or six lunch items and then specials every day. And then same with dinner. We'll have like a standard few items on dinner with specials.
And that, so some will change and some remain.
Right. Mostly it'll be a standard menu, but we'll have pops of yummy stuff. Like Thursday, we'll still do sushi rolls, for
instance.
Nice. Yeah.
So are you going to do like close in the afternoon, or just how are you going to do that?
Nope, we're going to stay open. We're going to be lunch and dinner, and it's going to be, you know, we're not going to be like a real late night place.
Mm-hmm.
However, Durong will be a late night place.
But yeah, Durong.
That, yeah, yeah, that, yeah, yeah. The Sugar Shack will be, dining into the evening.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. I know it's a huge
it's
change.
It's huge.
Can I ask a question? Where did Durong come from, the name?
Oh, okay. So Durong is our little Vietnamese bar in the backyard, and you access it via the alley.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And it is, Durong means sugar in Vietnamese.
Oh, okay.
I know. So, yeah, we were trying to, like, oh, what's the name going to be? And I knew we were going to have Vietnamese cuisine. And I just happened to see, like, you know, what is sugar in Vietnamese? And it's Durong. And I just thought, oh, my gosh.
Oh, so
this is
sweet.
Well, it sounds like
perfect.
Durong. Like you're going to Durong that you go there.
That's why the T-shirt is Durong in the alley. You know, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I
was like, that's going to be fun.
Pretty, yeah.
It's great. Like the dew drop in, you know.
Exactly.
And you know what it reminded me of the first time I heard it was a Durong, Durong.
Durong, Durong. The song.
The song.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait. What song is that?
Well, it isn't actually Durong.
Oh, Durong, Ron, Ron, Durong.
Yeah. And it reminded me of that. Oh, how fun. And I thought, no, there's something wrong. It's not quite right.
There's something do wrong.
There's something do wrong. Well, I just think this is fabulous news, and I'm so happy to be part of it now. I just didn't have a clue.
I know. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm excited too. Yeah.
And are you setting up tables yet? And are you getting
the tables
that?
Are all in. There are actually a bunch of booths in there, and it's fun. It looks really inviting.
Well, I haven't
and
been
wonderful.
In for about a month, so I missed all the
mess.
I
know. It
and
all just happened. Yeah, we just painted and did a whole like a little refresh in there. And yeah, we just have to wait for King County to give us the big old thumbs up.
You know, everybody waits for King County.
I know,
for
right? I'm like, yeah, you understand, right?
Yeah, everybody gets it. You know,
but the outdoor seating is in full swing, so that's out.
Well, this is really exciting, and I'll be one of your first guests.
Oh,
I'm
just thank
looking,
you,
I'm
you
looking
guys.
Forward to that.
Good.
So, I want to learn about you, Hetty. I don't know much about you, and I know you, you know, as a person and as a cook and as a wonderful friendly face when I go in there, but I don't know a lot about your background, so I'd like to know, first of all, my question I love to ask people is, what brought you here, and how long have you been here?
Right. So I moved here in 2000,
and
I had been living in Ireland right before this.
Okay.
And the west coast of Ireland, in very rural part of the country, and it was really beautiful and perfect. And I wanted to stay there, but there wasn't any work.
Oh.
Like zero.
Oh.
So I was like buzzing into Dublin, which is quite a trek from where I was. Just to like pick up shifts, bartending and waitressing and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's not really going to be sustainable, because I found out I was pregnant.
Oh.
And my daughter, my husband and I got married over there, and my daughter, you know. And so we had to come back and find work.
Okay.
And so we were kind of bummed out, because, you know, the whole thing in West Cork is where we were, and the whole thing is everybody's on the dole. There's no work. Like literally, we tried to get a job at the fish cannery, and they were like, "Sorry, no room." You know, no room in the inn. So we had to come back and figure out what we were doing. And so I visited a friend on Vashon when we came back, trying to figure out what we were going to do. And literally, I pulled off of the ferry onto Vashon. And I said, this is absolutely
is that right?
it. Oh, it was so clear. And, you know, just how beautiful it is. It's actually similar to Ireland in a lot of ways. You know, it's so beautiful, and the foliage and the you know, the latitude, everything about it is just surrounded by water, all
right.
of that. And so we decided we wanted to raise our kids here. And we did. And yeah. So Eva was born soon after that, and then my son Finbar was born, and Finbar was named after the church we got married in.
I was going to say, there's an
Ireland.
Irish name for you.
And they
is that
really
in Cork. The Finbar in Cork.
Finbar is the patron saint of Cork.
And
he was a hermit.
Yeah,
and he lived in this beautiful hermitage at the head of the River Lee. And that's where we got married, in his hermitage.
Fantastic.
And that's why we named him Finbar. Yeah. And it's such a beautiful place. Swans, a little lake, a little tiny old-fashioned church. You know, it was just absolutely stunning. So yeah, that's how he got his name.
Exactly what you want for a day like that.
Yeah.
So then, did you start working immediately? Were you able to find work and
so
a home?
No. So my husband worked at K2 as an art director.
Okay.
And so that was, we were so happy he got a job on the island.
Wow.
I mean, it was not easy to get that job. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
The woman who showed me Vashon, mm-hmm. her name is Mary Nell. Unfortunately, she's no longer with us. But she said, there is one place on the island where you know, mm-hmm. maybe Chad can get a job. And sure enough, we went there and she begged the HR, can we please just have the number of the person, you know, in the art department.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally relented because she was such a wonderful person. She was so chatty and she really like broke him down. And sure enough, they gave us his number and he ended up being Chad's boss.
Oh, how wonderful.
And worked on the island so he could buzz home at lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And he was such a great part of their life when they were little kids. It was just really wonderful. And yeah, I homeschooled the kids, so I didn't mm-hmm. really work that much.
Okay.
You know, I was with them most of the time and I homeschooled them like through grade school. So I was doing Heady Handbags a little bit when they were like napping and mm-hmm. stuff. You know, I had a few different businesses along the way, and then King Carmel's of course kind of came on, and then they went to the high school and the junior high actually.
Okay.
So yeah, they were okay. So then I had time to do some stuff. So yeah, I had a few different businesses along the way.
Well, you have always been, your fingers have been in lots of pots.
Yep. And what the one thing that's always consistent is raising my kids was the most important thing.
Yes.
But then also I'm a farmer.
Uh-huh. I know you are.
I'm part of a farm that I really love that I've been doing for probably about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a collective and we all work together on Monday mornings. And we grow tons of food and flowers and herbs and wonderful things. And I really love it. It's called Shoulder to Shoulder, and it's right behind co-housing. Oh. And that is a huge commitment of mine in my life. I love it so much.
And what do you do with all that food? Is that food for you who work the farm?
Yes.
Okay.
We do not sell mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. It is just for the people that are
How
working.
How wonderful.
Yeah. And we grow a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing. Yep. And then, of course, not enough to source the restaurant so much,
yeah.
But I grab a little bit, like
I bet
tomatoes,
you do.
herbs,
all tomatoes.
You know,
I know every time it starts to be spring, I start lusting after tomatoes. We have to wait so long.
I know,
but they're
good.
They're so good.
The best.
Well, that's a wonderful story, and I know that within all of those years, there's been a lot of travel and a lot of investigating other, not opportunities, but other people doing other things and learning along your way.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I know that you love to travel, so I think that we'll talk about that in a minute. But right now, I have some more questions for you that are just kind of funny questions. So I know I was going to ask you because I know a woman who lives down by Point Robinson, and she told me that her sheep are next door to you. And I wondered if you still had those sheep because I met them. You still have those sheep?
Oh, they're goats, actually.
Oh, are they goats?
Yeah.
Well, I met your goats.
Yeah. It's funny because...
They are sheep.
When I first bought the goats, I was like, oh, great, they'll take care of the lawns.
Right.
You know? And then I got them home, and they're like, oh, no, they don't actually eat grass. That's sheep. And I was like, oh, I bought the wrong animal. I mean, that is literally what a dummy I was about it. But, they're goats.
Yeah.
And they're wonderful.
Yeah.
I just love them so much. I mean, I had no idea that they would be such a, like,
pet.
I have such a bond with them. Yeah. They're so wonderful.
Do you have any babies? Because
I do not have babies. No, they're all either weathers or does.
Uh-huh.
I do not breed them or want anything. I just don't have time to do that whole thing. Or milking, none of that.
Yeah.
Baby goats are the... Got to be the cutest.
Oh, they are the cutest things
in the world.
I look
world.
Forward to that in the springtime too.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, we have such a wonderful spring season on Vashon.
They are the most playful sweethearts, right?
Mm-hmm. I know, they really are.
And a lot of them keep their personality. Like I just think, and not quite to that like vigor,
mm-hmm.
but they're just ghosts are just mm-hmm. absolutely charming. I luckily the big glass window of my house, the big glass, you know, south side of my house looks out at the goats, and I just.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah, I know. I like goats too. Okay, so here's some questions.
Okay.
Do you listen to any podcasts or do you watch any food TV? And if you do, what?
Oh, okay. So I grew up, like the reason I learned how to cook has to do with watching Julia Childs.
Yes.
and Justin, whatever his name is, the Cajun guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love Jacques Pepin.
Yeah.
So yeah, I watched a lot of that as a kid. Mm-hmm. That was totally, and reading mm-hmm. cookbooks, that mm-hmm. was like my jam. Now I have less time to do that stuff,
yeah.
but I'll still like catch a little bit Jacques Pepin still. And I think a lot of his methods and stuff are a little bit, probably not something I would so much follow. They're a little bit, what I love about him is he's not like a strict French.
Right.
Coherent, mm-hmm. you know, he's like, whatever works, you can do this, you can do this. But he's a little bit too free in my mind.
Sometimes he is, because he doesn't, sometimes there's not a lot of methodology. It's just sort of a little of this, and then you do
yeah.
this, and you do that, or you could do this other thing. And it's, if you don't know what you're doing, it's kind of hard.
Right, and yeah. I think he's inspiring to people to kind of just get into
just
it.
Play.
At all.
Yeah.
Because he's such
yeah.
a sweetheart, you know, yeah. he's just such a sweetheart. But when he was working with Julia Childs, he was a little bit more...
Well, she was.
And she was, yes. kind of.
But she, but, you know, she also said things like, well, if you have a disaster, just add more butter. You know, just.
But that is actually great advice.
It is good advice.
And, I mean, that's pretty solid.
It heals a lot of hurts when you're cooking.
But when I heard about her favorite food being Big Mac, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I do kind of get it, you know? And I'm not judging, but it's sort of interesting. But,
yeah. Yeah. I also, let me see, where's my list of questions?
But I'm
here?
Open to like hearing about fun, like iPods and stuff. What are they called?
Podcasts.
I should listen to.
You know, I recently discovered one called, I can't remember. I'll think of it in a second, but it's from England and it's sponsored by Waitrose, which is it's a wonderful grocery store there, chain.
Yeah.
And it's two people and Andrea Harnett. I don't know if Angela Harnett, and she owns five of the top restaurants in London.
Wow.
And her partner, Andrew, and they are hilarious. And they interview a lot of different people, and they have a lot of different food. And in the background, they do it on television and as a podcast. So they call it a podcast, but it's on TV. So I don't know. I don't know all this technology. But anyway, they have a running banter, and it's really fun. And you learn a lot of sort of easy things that are fancy food.
Mm.
And it's really fun to watch. So that's one that I like.
It kind of reminds me of Stirring the Pot with Linda and Tom.
Thank you.
No, yeah, I wanted to tell you real quick, you're talking about podcasts. I just saw something last night on PBS, I think it was. It was Eva Longoria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She was Discovering Spain, I think it was called. But she was hitting all these restaurants and the places where they, and talking about the cuisine.
She's quite darling.
Oh, it was cute yeah. as every it could yeah. be, you know.
Anyway.
Oh,
I'll have to check
else
that.
Is adorable yeah. in this vein is Jamie Oliver.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
oh,
heartthrob, Jamie
no.
Oliver.
Yeah.
I just,
Jamie.
Yeah, honestly, like, yeah. he's, how does he even do it all?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's working with kids and schools and old people and
so
everything. I know.
Things but he yeah. can pull a dish together in a quick amount of time that looks pretty appetizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. he really can. So let's talk about food for a second. So you're in a donut shop, okay? What do you choose?
Ooh. I always love the French cruller.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the... It's like a choux pastry.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, mm-hmm. just a... I don't like wheat bombs. That's
okay.
my thing. I can't mm-hmm. do like a big, heavy... It's just mm-hmm. not interesting to me. It's not mm-hmm. not tasty to me. But a cruller with those
oh,
big,
yeah.
airy...
Those are hard to make.
I've
tried.
I'm assuming it's choux, is it?
It's kind of choux, but it's different. And to get that flaky, beautiful
uh-huh.
texture... I failed 3 times and I quit.
Oh, you know what? That's so, making me feel kind of like I should try that.
You should try it. I bet you
I
could do it.
I
bet
don't know
you could
if
do
I could
it.
Or not,
yeah.
but I'd like
what about you, Truman?
No.
If you're
come
in the
on,
donut,
you're in
shop,
donut shop, what do you want?
Come on, just a big old glazed donut.
A big old glazed donut.
The big fat boys, you know.
So you don't want anything in it,
no
filling, no fancy sprinkles.
I do like the cream filling.
Me too, the Bavarian cream filling.
Yeah,
that's
yes,
what I would pick.
Yeah, I do
always.
Like this. I have to
really?
Admit.
Love Bavarian. Yeah, anything yeah. creamy.
Yeah, yeah. I have
anything
to
creamy. I heard a funny thing on one podcast I was listening to, and the woman was talking about how she cannot eat anything that wobbles.
Mm.
No wobbly food.
Oh, I am not. I'm not about that.
Me neither.
No,
but it was
wobble
like
all day.
No pudding. No.
Oh,
I mean.
Oh, Jello.
Oh, that's a psychic. That's
Jello.
A psychosis.
Hey,
from
Jello.
Her psycho. That is
Jello
not.
Gets me,
and
boy.
She called it wobbly.
Yeah.
You don't like Jello?
Well, I like the flavor, but I hate the. As it goes
oh,
down
I love
your
that.
Throat.
That's why I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's
yeah.
a little vodka in there, especially.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Okay. What's your favorite way to eat potatoes?
Oh God. What is it called? Potatoes Anna? Papa, I'm sure there's some French way of saying it, but you know those little, they basically shave the potato.
And it's layers and layers
like
and
coins.
Layers.
Yeah, butter.
And butter
coin,
and a layer.
Butter, coin, butter, coin. In like a, and you do it like a little muffin tin kind of thing.
Oh.
But I'll take potatoes anyway.
And do you, when you do those potatoes Anna, they're, is it just butter? And potatoes?
Just butter and potatoes. And a little herbs. You put some little thyme on there. And you put a little thyme sprig on the top.
And you then know, you put them better. In a muffin tin and you bake yep. them in the
bake
oven
it.
For like...
Oh, this is
the
hard until
they're done.
Yeah, until they're done. Yeah, yeah. Until they're nice and golden and caramelized on the outside.
And then they're crispy
tender.
On the outside and creamy. Mm.
All right. Yeah. So my question is, though, you're in Ireland and the potatoes in Ireland, we went to a pub. And and we're watching people and they're very carefully peeling their potatoes, you know, as they're being served. And we said, well, come on, we like, you know, we like the skin.
Like, uh-huh.
And we cut a big old chunk and took a bite and it was like eating dirt. It was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so they have a thick skin. I don't remember that, Truman. I don't remember that about the potatoes in Ireland, but I believe it.
Oh,
yeah.
But
so it's a different potato.
It's a way different potato. Yeah, interesting. But
well, they're kind of funny in Ireland. Like, for instance, when I lived over there, I never had a green asparagus. It was only white.
White, yeah.
Mm. They never sold green. You know, they probably do now. They probably
well, they bury them to the point. If they don't turn green.
They're so good.
Yeah,
they are so tender.
They're so much
tender. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. But yeah.
Are you growing some in your garden?
That is one thing we do not grow, actually. That is one of the very few things we don't grow. Because you name it, we'll grow everything else.
Oh,
but
wow.
Yeah, we don't have an asparagus. It's always our intention. Oh, we got to get the asparagus patch going. And then we just never
And then
have.
There's no time.
Yeah, then we get going on other
It was a great idea.
And it
still hangs
and
there.
And it takes 3 or 4 years before
I know,
you really
you
get good production.
Yeah. I had asparagus in my backyard when I lived in Denver. And it was wonderful.
Treat.
It just grew. You know, I bought the house. And there was a little yard in the back, and there were some bushes. And one day I went out there, and I went, that looks like asparagus. And it was. Mm. It was so good. Yeah. Tender and beautiful. Okay, what's your favorite way to eat eggs?
Eggs. Okay, I really love a poached egg with a very runny yolk. Whatever it is, it's going to have a runny yolk.
Yeah, it has
And
to
so
have.
I do a lot of, pretty much my lunch every day is kimchi fried rice. That is, you know, I just get to the restaurant, start my kimchi fried rice. That's how I, you know, start my day at like 10:30 in the morning. Yeah, it's early to be eating kimchi fried rice. I know, but to me, it's very normal. But yeah, just and then with it topped with a. I don't poach it. I just make like a sunny side up egg and put it on the top of the kimchi fried rice.
Yum.
Runny yolk.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta be runny.
It's gotta be runny. It's gotta be runny. And mine is always a little. Too runny for a lot of my neighbors' tastes, but I like it that way.
Yeah. So when we serve kimchi fried rice at the shack, I always ask people, "How do you like your egg?" And most people like what I call gel, so they like it to just be gel, like a little, not like, really hard cooked,
but not soft.
But most people don't want it runny, which is pretty interesting.
And I don't understand that
because to me, it just makes a sauce.
Sure.
And like when I'm eating Eggs Benedict, one of my very favorite foods on the planet.
Mine too.
The yolk. And the hollandaise all work
together. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's nothing more. Actually, I think really, truly, there's in the food world, there's nothing more disappointing than Eggs Benedict with a two-done egg.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing.
It's so sad.
It's so sad.
I know.
And,
I agree.
You know, I appreciate the chefs and the cooks in the back, and I understand.
I know.
But
it's
you
busy
just
and
can't
and
serve
they might
that.
Not know. I mean, they might not know that really. I know. It was so funny. I was in Boise. At a music festival, which is another huge part of my job, is booking music for the Sugar Shack. But we were there at a Treefort Music Festival with some friends, and we were out to brunch, which was such a treat because normally I don't get to like really go out that much because I'm always at the restaurant. So we got to really eat out a lot and do all this. So we went 2 days in a row to this one brunch spot, and my friend ordered Eggs Benedict both times. And the first time, she remembered to say to the waiter, I want to run a yoke.
Please make sure.
Yeah.
I do that every time.
And then the next day, she forgot to say that because she was so confident because it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and then she got her thing, and I'm looking at her face, and I know. Oh. And she's thinking, and she got into it, and she goes, she looked at me, and she goes, you really got she goes, you really got to tell him.
Every time.
Yeah, you're really going to tell them. Yeah. It was so adorable. It's a very nice way of saying, like, I am super disappointed right now. And it was gel. It wasn't run. Yeah.
I mean, I've never sent it back. I would never do that.
She
I would
didn't
never
either,
do
but
that.
She was but kind of thinking,
but like, it just, it's like, okay, I guess I'll eat now. It's not like, I get to eat now.
I have a friend who, we were at a restaurant in Montana, Missoula, Montana.
Oh, that's where he went to school.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. You, and anyway, she brought us, the waitress brought a steak, and he said, he cut into it, and he sent it back. And I said, well, just eat it. And he goes, look, I'm a traveling salesman. When I eat out, it's like eating at home, because that's where I eat all the time. And if I'm cooking it at home, I want it this way. And so I want it that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, that's pretty reasonable. I mean,
yeah, there's a fine line, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's a fine line.
Well, you can
line,
be nice and send it back.
Yeah.
Or you can be nasty and send it back.
I think most, I mean, especially like a small business kind of restaurant wants you to be happy.
Yeah.
And
in that situation, like if it's a small, like cool bar that's serving steak and
which
stuff.
Which it is.
In Montana, they would want you to be happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, I think my friend who got the overdone yolk that one morning, mm-hmm. I think her thing was, shoot, I should have said something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
her
point,
blame.
You know,
yeah.
Because she's right. Like most people don't like runny yolks.
I know
this from experience in doing these kimchi fried rice. People don't want runny.
They don't want runny.
Yeah.
So
you're being safe.
With regard to the Eggs Benedict, I always ask now.
Yes.
Every time.
This is our pack.
Please make
guys.
Sure. Yes.
This is our pack.
Yep.
We're only remember to ask.
Just
remember to ask. Please make sure that the yolk is runny. Like real runny. Runnier than you think it should be.
Okay. But make the white perfect.
Yeah, the white
done.
Has to be. Okay. I don't want any goo.
Good luck.
Just do it,
exactly
just do it
perfect.
Right. Okay, on to the next question. What's your favorite herb?
Ooh, I really love tarragon.
Oh.
And speaking of hollandaise sauce.
Oh, that
sauce,
surprises me.
Yeah, speaking of hollandaise sauce, I mean, so tarragon is the ingredient that makes béarnaise
right.
plus so hollandaise sauce is basically butter, a little bit of lemon, and egg yolks.
Mm-hmm.
And then to make it béarnaise, you just add a little vinegar and tarragon.
Okay. I've never made béarnaise.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
I make hollandaise, but...
Well, I'm astounded.
Well, now you can do that.
I can.
Yeah.
What's
your favorite herb?
Well, I was telling you earlier, I like basil.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be my favorite. But tarragon in chicken salad, you know,
mm-hmm.
a little tarragon. Oof, you can't beat that.
My favorite, I think, is a toss-up between thyme and sage. I love both of those.
Well,
you know, just a little bit of thyme in anything is magic. Especially if you put some in, you're making a pot of soup, and if you just put a couple sprigs in at the very end, like don't let it sit there all day.
But so it goes
aromatic.
All the way.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Yummy. But yeah, I also love Thai basil, which I think it kind of reminds me of tarragon because they both sort of have something.
It's licorice-y
It's licorice-y.
Yeah.
They both have a licorice-y thing, which is funny because I don't really like licorice flavor.
I don't either.
I don't like licorice
I don't
at all.
Like licorice
I know.
But I love that.
But I love
fun?
That. So,
that fun?
But that is the thing. Mm-hmm. It is really weird. I would never have black licorice as a candy.
No. My mother loved it. She was Canadian, and they have those little squares of layered licorice, like a white layer
with the
pink in it. It's so
but
bad.
But you know what? Can I just say, like, that is my thing, because my parents really love that, too. I think they just didn't have a lot of choices.
Maybe.
And it was like, it's sweet.
And candy
you know,
was sweet.
I might
candy,
come around, too, if that's all you get. That's
probably
what I
not.
Well,
I
listen,
still would have been picky as hell.
Me, yeah.
Well, listen,
give me a lemon head any day.
I read the other day that, you know, that some fruit you get to, you know, like a peach, it's got to be just right, you know.
True.
And a plum can be a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Oreos are always the same.
We know our Oreos.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that wisdom.
That's
really
true. Yes. I haven't had an Oreo in a long time.
Oh, it's making me want one, though.
Yeah.
My goodness. Okay, one more. What's your favorite pasta?
Pasta?
Okay. Like shape.
Pasta shape. Okay, I really like the texture of angel hair.
Oh, okay.
You know, I
so what's your favorite way to eat angel hair pasta?
Well,
with a fork.
With my fingers.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of like, I like the delicate little, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what else I love is like a sheet of lasagna noodle. Like that silky. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I really love Asian food. So when I think of like pasta, I think of rice, like rice noodles that are really wide. Mm-hmm. And they're just silk in your mouth. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. You know, just... And yeah, that's kind of my real jam is the Asian noodles.
I've had the pappardelle that has been that silky.
Oh, God.
God. Done. I love it.
Actually, yes. Yes. That I like even more than angel hair. But angel hair has something for it. But yeah. No, pappardelle, absolutely.
It's just so good. Oh. It's so good and silky. What about you, Truman?
Well, when I was based in Anchorage, I mm-hmm. was by myself, and so I, you know, had to cook.
Oh, poor Truman.
Yeah, poor me. So I did all my own cooking. I mean, I do a lot of cooking anyway.
You're a cook anyway.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. But I got into this, is it, I can't say it, farfalla? The little bow tie pasta?
Oh,
bow tie,
yeah.
I don't know.
Farfalla.
Just say bow tie.
Bow tie,
yeah. But I would make like a cold salad using the bow tie.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
and what'd you put in there?
Oh, everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes tuna, sometimes.
Like a big pasta salad.
Yeah.
We call that gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook.
When I was growing up with my kids, we called that gobbledygook, just like a pasta, tuna,
put everything
mayonnaise,
in. Yes.
Some tomatoes, maybe some peas, some
onions.
Pickles.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, you got to admit, it's not like gourmet, but it is tasty.
Yeah, it is. And you keep it in the fridge and you can just eat it. Anytime.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, my first memory of pasta salad is we'd call it pasta salad nowadays, but was my mom, and she was famous for making what people called shrimp salad.
Oh, yeah.
And it was macaroni, like regular sized macaroni, with those little tiny canned bay shrimp. And that was in the 60s, you know, and that was shrimp salad with lots of mayonnaise and some pickles and, you know, and the pasta salad has really evolved since those days.
And shrimp salad has as well.
Yes, it has. Yes, you would not call that shrimp salad nowadays.
No. But there's a little fun, kitschy thing about what your mom was making, absolutely. Still,
for sure,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. And do you have do you guys have a favorite kitchen utensil?
Oh, God, yes.
Which one is it?
It is, you know, these new modern, they're not spatulas, they're like spunula, I think they call them. They're
It sounds like a disease.
One that we don't want to talk about.
Oh, God, are you going to be okay?
I just got over it.
Do you have spunula?
I hear that. God, it takes a while to get that.
Now you wrecked it for me. No, but I have this one that is black, and it's like rubber, but it's not. And it's safe, you know. And
silicone, probably.
Yeah, there you go.
Love
it. It can take heat or, you know. And I make a carbonara. In fact, my daughter calls it breakfast pasta because it's got bacon and eggs.
Yummy.
Yeah. But I make a carbonara and I use a heavy cream, you know, and as I'm stirring it, using that spatula, spoonula thing, I'm able to scrape so that it clears the bottom of the, so it doesn't burn.
Oh, you know? So as opposed to using just a spoon, which doesn't get that.
No. This cleans the
bottom. Catch the corners.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. And so I really like that. And my second favorite is a ladle. Any ladle.
Oh, any ladle. I love
ladles.
I just like the word.
What, you know, you pick stuff up you gently. It kind of reminds me of the jerez of sherry in Spain, you know, where they dip the and swing the thing out. And, anyway.
They swing the thing.
What's yours? What's yours?
I just love the word ladle.
Oh.
Is it ladle?
It's just old fashioned.
Yeah, I like it. mine is one of my wooden spoons.
Yeah.
And I cannot cook without it. I just cannot cook without it. It's long. Mm-hmm. It's got a long handle on it, and it's a wide handle. It's not a thick, round handle. It's a long, flat handle.
Handle.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And I can really grip it, and it's not slipping. I just love that spoon, and I've had it probably for 30 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And I take really good care of it because, you know, they do disintegrate after a while. But that's probably it.
How about you?
They don't all disintegrate because I hired John Moore, who you will find at the Vashon Farmers Market on Sundays, an incredible spoon maker. I hired him probably in, honestly, maybe 2014 to build a spoon for me that I could use for stirring caramels. And it had to be a really sturdy spoon that was kind of flat on the bottom to get to the edges and to get to the bottom of the pan, and had to be just really sturdy. And he made me one, and it didn't work that well. And then I told him what the problem was, and he said, oh, I got you. So he made me, right then, that summer, two ironwood. You can look at this thing today, these things. I have them both still, thank God. And they are completely pristine. They are in perfect shape, and they do exactly the job. John, like,
oh, I'd love to see them. I'm going to come and look at them.
It is so beautiful. I still have, and it's just exactly the right everything that I, for
sure. An ironwood. I do have an ironwood spoon, but it's too big. It's like a giant spoon that you would use in a 5-gallon thing of something. You know, it's just huge, and I love it, but I have it because of the aesthetics. I never use it.
Well, the other, you were describing your long-handled spoon. I have one that's round-handled that I use for making my risotto. And it's but it's, I don't know what it is. It's plastic again, you know, like you were saying, maybe it's silicone. I don't know.
Well, the silicone's awesome because it goes up to like 500 degrees.
And you can't melt it.
I think that's what this is. But but in making, you know, making that risotto, you got to, you got to keep it going.
I know.
And when I love making risotto. Anyway.
I know you do.
And in the spring.
I keep hinting for some invitation, and it never doesn't happen. Tom
and I really love risotto.
I love risotto, and he's been talking about it with me for years. Yeah. And I just, you know,
I have one in the spring with that good fresh asparagus that we grow.
Oh, yes.
And a little lemon.
Some t-shirts on the top just to kind of really pop it.
So can we talk about the caramels?
Absolutely.
Tell me how the caramel thing started. And for those of you who don't know, Hetty's famous for her caramels. And if you taste her caramels, you will never find another one that will fit the bill, ever, anywhere. There's never any grainy in it. There's never, and it's the smoothest, silkiest, deepest caramel flavor that you will ever find. And I am a caramel addict, so I know.
Why do I not like make? Okay, so I started making caramels when I was a teenager because my mom liked them, and I love my mom so much. And she doesn't like to cook. She's dead now, but she didn't like to cook at all. And she had 10 people in her house. She had
six
kids. Herself and my dad, and then my dad's parents lived with us also. There were 10 of us. And this poor woman really did not enjoy being in the kitchen. And you and I, we don't relate, we don't relate to that.
Right.
We think cooking is a joy.
Yeah.
And she really didn't like it. She didn't like shopping for it. She didn't like cooking, nothing. Okay. So, well, this is kind of a funny story. So Seattle Met did a little piece on King Caramels. And you know, I made the mistake of saying, this is off the record, but I said, you know, my mom was really terrible in the kitchen. You know, she was the best mom you could ever have. She was completely my best cheerleader my whole entire life and just a lovely person in every way, but she didn't like to cook. So she never, you know, so I learned to cook pretty early. That was my thing because I liked good food. I wanted to do it. It was a joy to me. So I was cooking like pretty young, like starting at like, you know, 5 or 6, I started doing like a little bit of baking and stuff like that, you know, safe, whatever. But anyway, so I said that in the piece and that was the first sentence. Hetty Anderson learned to cook at a young age because her mother was so terrible to get something like that.
And was your mom and your mom was still alive?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, no.
She was. So it had all these beautiful photos of the caramels and all this kind of stuff. And I couldn't show her the piece, and it was like all I wanted to do was to show her, look at mom. This is such a cool piece.
You wanted to kind of redact part of it, right?
And she would admit it to us, but you don't really want to be like spreading that around anybody. Right. Here I am. Now she's dead. I can say, no, I mean, honestly, how bad am I? But she really did not like cooking. But that got me into it more because, you know, had she been great and just like fed me great food, I probably wouldn't have been as motivated to learn and stuff like that. So I started baking really young.
So I've told this many times, but my mother was a wonderful person. I mean, my corner, we lived on a corner lot, and that was the hangout for everybody. My mom took people, you know, took the kids to swimming. I mean, she did it all, right?
Yeah.
But she was a terrible cook.
Oh, was she?
Oh, my gosh. I've told people,
my two brothers and I, when we got in the Army, we went, wow, this food is great. You know, all everybody else is going, this is terrible. We're going, are you kidding me? Man,
I know. Our thing was like, because I have four older brothers and they're all pretty big and like they needed a lot of food and stuff like that. And she fed us. It was mostly like steak and potatoes, but it wasn't like anything else. There was no béarnaise sauce. Okay, no, you guys. It was horrible.
How did she do the eggs?
Yeah. In a pot, in a huge pot, and scrambled. Yeah. Anyway, that's fine. But same deal. She was such a lovely human being.
And I said, I didn't learn that how to make toast. I thought the way you made toast is you burned it black and then scraped the black off. That's how you made toast, you know.
Well, I still make it that way sometimes.
Yeah, I do too occasionally.
Every once in a while,
So back to the caramels. You're still making caramels.
Oh, yeah. So I started making them because she liked them. And so I started a little business actually in college. Mm-hmm. And I would sell to, my friends' families and stuff like that. And I still have the little fun logo from that time. So then I, like I said, I was with the kids and I was, raising my children and stuff like that at home. And I was like, maybe I'll just start this caramel business up again. So that's when that whole thing started. I had a good thriving business. Actually, selling caramels is what enabled me to buy the Sugar Shack.
And, isn't that something?
And when I bought the Sugar Shack, it was to make caramels. It wasn't to be a restaurant.
I remember.
Well, you needed a commercial kitchen, right?
That was it. Yeah. I had been renting at co-housing.
Sure.
It's really sweet little kitchen. And that was great. But then I was like, this worked out, and we tricked out the little house to be a kitchen, and and things were great. And then the business, the restaurant started, and it was like hard to find time to do the caramels. Sure. So it was like really a terrible trade-off. And someday I'll go back to it, I promise. But
you're still making them.
I do make them sometimes, but it's just not as consistent. And I don't wholesale anymore. That was really the big deal.
Well, I was in the other day, and I was. She gave me a couple, and my God,
I just heard you say caramel. What is the?
Okay, so I used to say caramel.
I say it both ways, come to think of it.
Okay, but then I kind of trained myself to say caramel when I started the business because my website is kingcaramel.com.
Caramel.
And a lot of times people don't put that second A in there.
Hmm.
And so I say caramel.
Oh,
too,
I
because
see.
They were misspelling it. And I don't know if you get to the site or not if you do that.
Right.
But,
interesting.
But caramel is supposed to, it is actually pronounced caramel.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Not caramel.
No.
It is caramel.
Not caramel.
It is caramel.
Not caramel, whatever.
God, you know what?
Carmel is a city in California.
That's Carmel. Yeah.
No, I think that's where the confusion happened.
It probably is. Oh. Yeah.
You know that?
Well, plus I think it's regional. You know,
I think a lot of
East Coast people say caramel.
Yeah.
They say caramel in the South. And where I'm from, they say caramel.
I get teased relentlessly from some people like, you sound like a snob when you say caramel. And I was like, well, I am definitely not a snob. That is the last thing I am. But I do it because I want people to go to put that extra A in when they come to my site.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the Voice of Ashon, you can learn anything on this program. I'm telling you.
Just about anything. There were a few things, a few little flubs we've done that you probably didn't want to learn.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Let's see. What do we want to talk about? I still want to talk about caramel.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're stirring the caramel, and how do you... Like, what's the trick to getting it that creamy and beautiful?
Yeah. What can I tell you without giving my recipe away?
Yeah, don't give it away.
Can you tell us without killing this later?
Okay, well, I'll tell you a story about giving the recipe away.
Okay, there you go.
When I was in college, my best friend, who I love so much to this day, with the best heart in the world, she would watch me doing the batches and stuff. She knew how to make caramel. And she never... I would make caramel for her family. It was all very wonderful. But after college, she was doing like a fundraiser for something. Mm. And she said, I really want to make the caramels for the fundraiser because I think it'll make a lot of money for this organization and whatever. So I said, I don't think that's a good idea. I said, I'm sorry. I just feel funny about it. I've always been funny about sharing my recipes. I'm just not. It's just my thing. I don't know. Then it got really worse after this. But she did it anyway. And so she actually started a caramel company in Minnesota. And that kind of was, we're still friends and all that. But I was like, and it was my recipe. And so you. But anyway,
you know,
well, just tell us, is there a secret to the way you stir the stuff? That's all I want to know.
Let's just put it this way. There is a lot of stirring.
Yes.
It is an annoying amount of stirring. And of course, I've had people that work for me that make it for me and stuff like that. I'm not like super paranoid about it, but I will just say, like, when people ask me recipes, I'm all, and I know that's not what you were asking.
No.
Yeah. But I'm just talking beyond what we're saying. But anyway, it's a lot of butter. A lot of stirring, and then
that's what makes it creamy.
And it's kind of like, I don't really use a thermometer anymore because you kind of can tell.
You kind of know.
I have an ice bath on the side.
Okay.
And that's
how. You can drop some in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is how. That's what I thought. Because thermometers, I love thermometers, except I've noticed over the years, like, so many fail.
They do.
It's like,
they do.
Oh my God, I just burnt this. And I'm looking at the damn thermometer.
It's okay.
Right?
You can say damn.
Yeah.
Because it is a damn thermometer.
But you know what I mean? Like, you think you're doing the right thing. And then it's so now I don't even use thermometers.
Well, that's how I learned to cook, to make candy with my mom.
Oh,
was by dropping it in the ice water.
Ice bath.
The hardball or the softball.
The hardball, softball. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what I still do when I make candy. I haven't made it for a while, but.
And you want it to be, for caramel, you want it to be softball.
Sure.
You don't really want it to get to the hardball stage. Although you can cover it up if you know.
Yeah. Put enough butter in it.
Yeah.
Just add some butter. Add butter.
Yeah. No, I have to tell you, I will say one thing. My mom did make two things that were three things. But two of them were, she made the $1 million fudge.
Okay. Know,
that's where it's really creamy. Mm-hmm. I think it's got marshmallow cream in it or something.
I think it does too. Yeah.
And she made, what's the white?
Divinity.
Divinity. Yeah.
Mm.
Those two things.
I don't know Divinity.
Well. She did make those.
Is that like a nougat?
It's kind of like a nougat.
But it's not hard. I mean, a nougat's
It's not
more,
hard.
No,
it's
no,
soft.
It's soft kind of.
And it's creamy and white, and it has nuts in it. And
sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, is it like a Turkish delight?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
It kind of, I recall correctly, you use whipped egg whites in it.
I think you do, yeah. I don't really cook corn syrup
and egg whites. And
it's very
a
light,
fluffy,
kind of fluffy
little thing.
And you put them in little blobs, on a
baking sheet.
Yeah.
And it's...
like a meringue, and then you cook it?
No.
I'll look it up later. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, go look up Divinity.
Think about this. Except not the flavor. Think about the texture of the inside of a Milky Way bar.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's white, and it's not chocolate, and it's kind of like that.
Nougat.
Yeah, nougat.
Kind of. Yeah. And
I brought that up.
But Divinity is just a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And it's an instant sugar high.
Okay,
I mean, it's like so bad.
Makes your teeth hurt. Kind
of so bad for you. Right to your vein.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we made at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Divinity and the fudge and English toffee. So the toffee thing was a bit like the caramel thing, except that you wait for the hardball stage.
Yes.
You know, it's a different thing.
And
so good.
It.
How do you keep the caramel from sugaring?
You know, it will eventually. Mm-hmm. It will eventually, but you just need to keep it airtight. Mm-hmm. Is the best you can do.
I mean, when you're cooking it, sometimes it comes out with little sugar crystals in it, and that weren't in the pan.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I don't know.
You've never had that happen.
Add more butter.
Truman, that is a great answer. No, I don't really know. I don't like whisk it or anything like that. I just stir it with this beautiful ironwood. John Moore.
I have to tell you about, you're talking about utensils. I have a thermometer that's the best. It's about 4 inches long, plastic, and it's like opening a knife. You know, the little thing comes out.
I have one of those, too.
You have one of those?
Yeah.
That's the best thermometer I've ever
had. Like an instant read thing.
Yeah. It is
my
the
son
best
gave me
had.
One that I really liked, too, and it was for his Weber grill.
Oh.
And you put it, it's like this battery, fancy techy thing, which, yeah. you know, you got to program.
Oh, yeah. You put the prong in, then you close it, and then you can read
and
it.
And you
got to
program
outside.
Your phone, and you got to tell the phone what you're doing, you know.
Hell no.
But once, I know, but once it's done,
I know, it's true.
But when he was doing it, I was thinking, oh my God, this is way too complicated. But once it's done.
I know.
So he did all that for me. But
that's so sweet.
I know. Yeah, yeah, it was very sweet. Very
that's
sweet.
That's a good thing to have as a gift. Like, can you just plan
program this?
Yeah, program this.
Just do this for me.
Gift.
And then just so I have to push the button and that's it. God, because that's where I'm at these days with regard to the technology.
I know.
And I'm not big on sort of new food technology either. It's like the old fashioned, the wooden spoon deal, you know, just like that's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do.
I'm not opposed to it, but I'm like you, like I just don't have the time for the learning curve that I would need, you know, because there would be a huge learning curve
and you pretty much have to change all of your methodology. You know, people who have listened to the show know that I'm in love with my air fryer. And I am. I love my air fryer. But that's as high tech as I get, you know.
That's
it's pretty easy. It's pretty good. That's just a pushing a button thing, you know. It's not, there's no complication to that. So speaking of cooking, have you guys ever had like epic fails?
Oh, God,
you ever had an epic fail?
Oh, yeah. Wait,
My wife and I started many years ago with my very first flight student and his... at that time, girlfriend or fiance, we started what we jokingly called a gourmet club, where there were six of us, three couples. And in those days, one couple would cook, one would bring the wine or the beverage, and the third person would clean up.
Oh.
And then we'd split the bill. Well, that kind of devolved after a while.
Yeah. You know?
But we had some wonderful dishes. We learned so much. But oh, baby, did we? You had maybe one or two big time
bad
fails.
Ones.
And I can't tell you, you know, exactly what they were, but
Well, one time we were doing a Thanksgiving turkey, and at that time I was married and I was taking a walk. It was Thanksgiving afternoon, and I was taking a walk, and my husband had started the turkey fryer. And he screamed down from the window, hey, what is it? What is it registering? Like, you know, what temperature is it? And I said, oh, it's still getting up to speed. It's still on zero. What had happened was it had gone all the way around.
Oh, no.
And was like, you know,
1,000 degrees.
Yeah, nuclear. And so I was like, it's fine. We're good. We got time, you know. And so I went on a huge walk and came back. And then there was an explosion. You know, you heard the turkey fryer exploding. Yeah. Oh, my God. Luckily, nobody was hurt. But yeah.
Do you remember that Julia Child episode when she dropped the turkey?
Oh, I do kind of remember.
And she picked it up and just kind of put it back on the platter. And she said, you know, that's the good thing about not allowing people in your kitchen when you're entertaining, because they'll never know. And I think one of the funniest, I thought it was funny at the time. My mom was a fabulous cook, and so was her friend. And they each had six kids, and so it was always a big zoo. And Joanne, my mom's friend, had all of us over for dinner, and she made a huge dinner, a big roast and potatoes and gravy and all of that. And her gravy didn't work, you know, like it just didn't work. So she decided she was going to serve the gravy herself so that people weren't too grossed out by it. And she served it by saying, okay, one lump or two.
That's good.
That was pretty good.
Hey, you got to work with what you got.
Make
a comedy routine out of it if you can.
That's funny.
I've had quite a few fails, actually.
We have a friend that we call the gravy queen.
You do?
Yeah. And when she comes over, we have to get the juice, you know, off the turkey and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And she starts with this stuff. And when she gets through, you don't want to eat anything else but a few potatoes and her gravy.
Oh. I love good gravy. Yeah. I love gravy.
Madeira.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Just a touch.
I've gotten pretty good at making gravy, and it's sort of, people ask me to make it too. I love it.
It's a skill.
But it is one of those things that you can't be afraid of it.
No, right. You can't be afraid of it.
And I remember teaching my sister, or not teaching her, but like talking to her about making a cake, and she was gingerly taking it. I said, don't be afraid of it. It's going to be fine. You know what I mean? Some things you just can't be afraid of. I tell a lot of the people I'm training when I'm, you know, just working at the shack and stuff like that too, like, don't be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, I think there, you know, for people who don't cook but who like good food, there's a lot of sort of tentative feelings about moving into the kitchen.
Exactly.
Because it feels like this big, mysterious
exactly.
place that where magic happens and I don't know how to do it.
You know, what I find is the most difficult part of cooking, and this is no kidding, and that is when you're having three or four or five dishes, getting the timing right.
Mm. Yeah, timing.
When do I start this and when do
yeah.
I...
Yeah, it takes a little bit of practice.
And I occasionally, I blow it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, that's totally overdone and I'm still working on this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Hetty, back to your new restaurant. Are you going to... It's still going to be Sugar Shack.
It is. It's going to be Sugar Shack. Everything's going to seem very familiar, especially what we're serving.
Okay.
It's just that there's going to be more options every day, and you're going to be able to actually dine in.
And are you developing new recipes, or are you already ready?
Not really. I know what people like. I know what, you know, people will be disappointed if if that's not on the menu. So, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of the same stuff. Really.
Yeah, it'll be so good.
Yeah,
we
have a lot of Asian food because I just love it and it's fresh and
I love it too.
Delicious. And so, yeah, a lot of that will be on the menu. And then also like meatloaf sandwiches, BLTs, banh mi sandwiches.
Are you going to have pie?
Oh, yeah. We'll
have
pie.
Thank God you're going to have pie.
And a lot of cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. You make the best BLTs. Ever.
Best.
I'm telling you.
They're so good.
Well, you want to know why they're good is because I only make them when I have good tomatoes.
Yeah, they have to be good tomatoes. Yeah, you know, I was talking with Jake at Ruby Brink a couple years ago, and we were talking about BLTs. And I had one there, and oh, my God, it killed me. And he said, but we probably won't have them next week.
Exactly.
You know, it has to be that tomato.
Yeah.
It has to be. Well, Hetty has to leave us now because
I'm going to go serve some food.
She's
to people.
Got a fur.
We got sticky ribs tonight.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, sticky ribs.
I better go.
Yeah, you better race.
I better have some. Hetty, thank you so much. It's been so much fun, and I look forward
thank
to seeing you real soon.
I'll be over
for some caramels and some sticky ribs. And
no, I'm going to get some caramels. I'm not.
Are you going to get
caramels?
No, seriously.
Yeah.
No, it is a battle with a couple of friends. Yeah. It's true. It's caramel.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Well, this has just been great fun. Thank you so much.
Guys.
I'm so glad you came.
Great.
And we'll do it again one of these days after you're open again, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll see. Thanks. So much
thanks
for the
cookies.
You're welcome. And thank you. I'm going to dig right in. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Do you want to take your plate?
Oh, actually,
I can bring it back. I'll bring it back afterwards. Okay.
All
right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I think we might as well just wind it down.
Well, we have
3 minutes left.
3 minutes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's happening here in the studio is we're having a mixer gathering at 4 o'clock for all the producers, and they're on their way in. I see a bunch of snacks on the table.
It's coming.
I see some bottles of wine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see any people yet.
No.
But they'll be here soon.
We told them 4:15.
I know. That's because I requested that because, you know, it's 4 o'clock. Our show's over at 4. So
then we have to do the little magic that we do.
We have to do a little bit of magic. So, Truman, thank you for your help today. It's been
wonderful.
Oh, it's
really fun.
It's been really,
really
fun. Hetty is a...
Oh, she's a hoot.
She's a hoot, and she's experienced, and she's really a pillar of our community.
She's a
wonderful contributor to the community as a whole.
I agree.
And I feel privileged that she took time out of this crazy schedule to come and visit with us.
I agree.
I mean, thank you all for listening, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Indeed.
Bye-bye.
Bye.